Good afternoon. My name is Katie Nimmons. I'm from Texas A&M University at the Center for Community Health Development. If I was in Texas and presenting this to a bunch of Aggies, I'd say howdy. But since we're in Boston, I'll stick with good afternoon. I went to UT, actually, but I work at A&M, so divided house. I'm happy to be here. The name of my presentation is the Sustainable CHW Model for Training At-Risk Disadvantaged Populations in Cancer Prevention, Treatment, and Survivorship. And I'm presenting on behalf of the rest of my project team, so Dr. Julie St. John, Dr. Chris Bowden, and Denise Adame. I don't have any disclosures to make. And I also did a set of presentation goals, so hopefully by the end of this 15-minute or so talk, I will have described the role of CHWs in this particular cancer prevention, early detection, education intervention. I will have defined and discussed message tailoring in the context of a CHW-delivered cancer education program, and I will have evaluated the sustainability and potential to replicate utilizing message tailoring and CHW workers in delivering a cancer education prevention and training program to at-risk vulnerable populations. So what is this presentation that I'm talking about? It's EPICO project, and EPICO stands for the Education to Promote Improved Cancer Outcomes, and it is a focused on prevention, detection, treatment, and survivorship. So three arms there for three different cancers: breast cancer, cervical cancer, and colorectal cancer. And the goal was to, in Texas, use culturally appropriate intervention strategies to address the problem of lack of education, language barriers, and low health literacy about cancer prevention, treatment, and healthy survivorship in a range of contexts. So just a brief project overview. It's a two-year project funded by CPRIT, the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas. It ran from August 2011 to August 2013, so we're still doing all the data analysis and wrapping up with that. We started by hiring six CHWs from the lower Rio Grande Valley as our project staff, and then began with the development phase of the project. So we enrolled the CHWs in a community health worker instructor certification course and training program. They also got training in facilitating focus groups, and they received certified CEUs from message tailoring. Then with that training, they joined with the researchers on staff and other field experts to develop bilingual training modules on prevention, early detection, treatment options, and survivorship. So those three arms, again, for those three cancers: breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer. So a total of nine different modules, CEUs, that they developed. Then once that had been pilot tested and refined and ready to go out in the field, the EPICO team conducted training sessions with outside agency promotoras. So we had six promotoras on staff, and they went out to other promotoras in the lower Rio Grande Valley, which is the southernmost part of Texas, four counties, and they trained these CHWs in the message tailoring as well as the nine cancer education modules. We did pre and post tests for those, and there are also evaluations at every training, so we got feedback from the CHWs. The CHWs that are staff trained went out in the lower Rio Grande Valley and delivered these education, used the message tailoring strategies to deliver these cancer education trainings to the residents directly. In year two, the EPICO, the six promotoras we had on staff, promotoras is the same thing as the CHW, just so we're all on the same page. But the six EPICO CHWs went across Texas to six metropolitan areas. So instead of the lower Rio Grande Valley, they went to Laredo, El Paso, Lubbock, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio to train other CHWs across Texas. And then they delivered cancer education modules directly to the residents in year two. So this is the map. If you're not really familiar with Texas, the one down at the bottom, that's the lower Rio Grande Valley. So it's Willacy, Starr, Cameron, and Hidalgo counties. The one right next to it, moving up, is Laredo, and then the far west is El Paso, and going over is Lubbock, and then going further east is Dallas, and then southeast of Dallas is Houston, and southwest of Dallas is San Antonio. So that was the project map. These are some numbers. So the residents trained by the community health workers that are six promotoras trained, it's about 1,500 in year one, and then our six promotoras trained almost 3,000 in year two. These numbers aren't unduplicated, so these are units of education delivered. So one resident might have received breast and cervical cancer training, and then we didn't collect name data for a lot of the information, so we can't say exactly how many different people we reached, but then the numbers are pretty high. for the promotoras trained in year one in the lower Rio Grande Valley, it was almost 250. And then across the state of Texas, it was 500 different units delivered. So in Dallas, for example, they did colorectal cancer and cervical cancer training. So it's one promotora that got two different units. But so overall, the project outputs, we developed the community health worker instructor curriculum was given to us in English, and our six promotoras on staff translated it into Spanish. And so not just linguistically translated, but culturally translated, so it was acceptable and fit the needs of the lower Rio Grande Valley. There are the nine cancer education modules developed also in English and in Spanish for breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer, prevention, detection, treatment options, and survivorship. Over 700 units of CHW cancer education trainings were delivered, which comes to about 3,500 CEUs, and 5,000 residents cancer education trainings were delivered. And if you think that's a lot, you should do the data entry for it. So. Just some more background to go into the project a bit deeper. The lower Rio Grande Valley has some interesting demographics. There are about 1 million people that live there in the four counties. 90% of them are Hispanic, and 74% of them don't speak English at the home. So it's very different from the rest of Texas and really the rest of the country. Low education levels across the board, so only 52% of adults have a high school diploma, and 30% of the entire population in the lower Rio Grande Valley is at or below the federal poverty level. So these are social determinants of health that are significantly at work in the population that we were operating in. Hispanic health disparities in the lower Rio Grande Valley are particularly pronounced as well. So there are lower rates of screening and then higher rates of mortality than white populations even living in the same counties. So to use breast cancer as an example, 52% of Hispanic residents of the lower Rio Grande Valley had never had a mammogram, or 52% of women, versus 37% of white women that had never had a mammogram, which is not great either, but 52% is a lot worse. And then Hispanic women in the lower Rio Grande Valley were 20% more likely to die of breast cancer than their white counterparts. So the reason we chose breast, cervical, and colorectal cancers for this project is they're the three most common cancers in the lower Rio Grande Valley. I also don't know if y'all are familiar with colonias. It's their neighborhoods. The official definition is unincorporated subdivisions without basic infrastructure and services. So here's a picture of one taken from the Texas A&M College of Architecture. They do a lot of work on the border too, but basically what happened in the 40s and 50s is migrant farm workers from Mexico came to cross the border to Texas for what they thought would be temporary seasons, and then three generations later, U.S. citizens are living in houses that might be built in floodplains, may not have running water access, may have intermittent access to electricity, unpaved roads. So, I mean, just the context to try and deliver cancer education delivery is just, it's exacerbated. So the CHW module, we talk about it a lot already today. The official definition of a promotora from the 2007 CHW National Workforce Study is a lay member of a community who works either for pay or for volunteer in association with the local healthcare system in both urban and rural environments. They usually share the ethnicity, language, and socioeconomic status as well as life experiences with the community members they serve. So this cultural competency was one of the foundational principles of the EBICO project. Texas is actually one of the handful of states that certifies community health workers. So it's you get a certificate from the Department of State Health Services. You can get the certificate either by documenting that you have 1,000 hours of hands-on experience serving as a community health worker or a community health worker instructor, or you can take a 160-hour credit course from a certified training center. Texas A&M has one. If you're interested, you can talk to us. Message tailoring was a third component of the project that I wanted to go into a bit more detail with. So message tailoring is not the same as targeting. So targeting is more broad-based, and tailoring is intended to reach one specific person based on that person's individual characteristics, and that's why the cultural competency, having the promotoras that are from the lower Rio Grande Valley to help us develop the curriculum as well as deliver the trainings is so important. So with message tailoring, you customize and personalize the educational approaches and the messages to the individual person that you're reading. As I mentioned earlier in the phase of the project development, the very beginning of year one, we had one of our PIs is a communications professor at Texas A&M University. He delivered the CEUs to the promotora, so they were able to receive the training and message tailoring, and then they passed it on to all the community health workers that they trained, and then they all used that in delivering the cancer education modules to the residents. The picture of some of our staff. So at any given point in the project year, we're all across the state of Texas. So Brazos County is our College Station, and Texas A&M is Cameron, Hidalgo, Starr, and Willacy are the lower Rio Grande Valley, and Jones County is kind of close to Amarillo in northwest Texas. So we're all across the state, but collaborating effectively. Everyone on staff for this Epic Hope project was either bicultural or bilingual, and most were both. Had a total of 8 certified community health worker instructors, which I think is really impressive. And then there's also a range of educational and personal backgrounds. So they're native Texans, they're people that had moved from Mexico. I moved from Atlanta, Georgia, not quite so exciting. But we had doctorates, people with PhDs on staff. We have a physician on staff who's serving as a community health worker instructor. So the diversity of experiences was really a strength of the project. As far as the sustainability and replicability of the EPICO approach, I broke it down into 4 key things that I think give it the potential to keep on going. So the using community-based participatory research approaches, so using CBPR and the development of the curriculum itself for the instructor curriculum, the CHW instructor curriculum, as well as the 9 cancer education modules. So we had people from the community. We chose the 3 cancers that were most prevalent in the lower Rio Grande Valley. We had people from the community help us develop the curriculum. It was pilot tested. There's opportunities for feedback and evaluation forms at every single training that we put on. So we heard it was a constant loop of feedback. The personnel, we think this is an adaptable strategy. Having bicultural and bilingual project staff just plays into the cultural competence and competency aspect, and we thought that was a really a strength of the project. Using the message tailoring also expands the reach of the project and makes sure that the messages that are delivered are the most relevant and resonant to the residents that are receiving them. And then the train-the-trainer methodology, so training over 700 community health workers who can then go on and train residents, is a key part of sustainability. So even though the project year ended in August, everyone that we gave the breast cancer, cervical cancer, and colorectal cancer trainings to can still use them in their own work. So best practices, lessons learned. I'm actually going to skip ahead to the challenges, lesson learned, so I can end on a high note. But I will start. There's a quote from John Wayne that I like because he's a cowboy and we're from Texas, but he says, "Tomorrow hopes we've learned something from yesterday." So it would be a shame to do a 2-year project and not have anything to take away from it. So some of the 3 challenges that our project had to deal with was balancing the amount and level of education for CHWs and residents. So I mentioned the diversity of experiences and educational backgrounds for our staff, and this is magnified in the residents that we're reaching, especially when we took it to the 6 metropolitan cities across Texas. So you want to make sure that you give information that's both the balance between being accurate and then like having the resident being able to accept it and take it all in. Like you don't want to talk about the molecular basis of breast cancer to a room of just residents that aren't interested in a science background. So going back and forth. We had done a couple of the CHW trainings for breast cancer, and we were getting feedback that residents were interested in learning more about men with breast cancer. And so we went back and consulted with the community, did some research, and developed an extra unit to add on to this training. And the next one we did, we had a male breast cancer survivor come and talk. So when we were developing the curriculum, we didn't anticipate that would be an interest, but it was. So just that balance is something to keep in mind. Also encouraging CHWs to incorporate what we taught them, because I mentioned that Texas is a certified position. So these are people that have been doing what they're doing for a while. And so to deliver this training on message tailoring and to deliver cancer education units in a way that they feel that they can adopt and make their own. And so it's not a top-down, but really is a give and take, was a challenge. And then delivering education in resource-poor context is always a challenge. So our CHWs made referrals for people that need screening or needed treatment, but a lot of residents expressed frustration that once they were given the education and know what they needed to do, just how few resources there were. So even in a city, the city the size of McAllen, which is in the lower Rio Grande Valley, that there may only be 2 clinics that would offer sliding scale or low resource. So I mean, just the there are few, there are limited healthcare resources to start with, and those that are available to people with limited financial resources are even smaller. And so that was a source of frustration that we tried to balance. And then to end on a positive note, the best practices and lessons learned that we took from this project, using CHWs is a sustainable model. Very effective way to reach at-risk and disadvantaged populations because you're using members of their community. So it's not top-down, it's not outside in, it's people within the communities delivering messages in a way that's culturally competent and then tailored specifically to their circumstances so that the person receiving the message is likely to feel that it's relevant and applicable. And then this also ties back into the community-based participatory research strategies, just to be of, by, and for the community from the entire phase of the project, from the very beginning and the conceptualization phases to the constant feedback and analysis even now that the project is done. So that is all that I have. And because we don't have a moderator, I will open it to questions, not just for my project, but all four of us. And thank you for your time and attention.